I'd sign up just for the quiet room. Go right past the massage table. Saw that. Go get. Can I hide here? Be good, like right before the holidays with the kids or during the summertime. Hey, can I just come down here? Y'all don't tell them where I am, please. Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. And as always, good to talk to our buddy, media mogul of the state of Alabama, the greater Southeast. Of course, you read him in Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. Also host of the Jeff Poor Show at WVNN in Huntsville. And a man that comes and visits us every week or two, or at least once a month. We got to get you back, maybe even for Mardi Gras.
A commitment from 2 to 5 p.m. every day.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll call up there. I'll say, listen, you're on assignment down here or something like that.
I got to get one of those devices like you have where you can do the remotes.
That is true. That is true. And we can hook you up with one, or I'll lend it out. Or say you have to come down here and pick it up or something like that. We'll work it out. All right. I want to get into what is, and I agree, the biggest Alabama national news story in quite some time. I was saying that to our buddy Todd Stacy yesterday. I said, yeah, here's a story that is a Washington story, a national story, at the same time has definite roots in Alabama. And a lot of us, I say, you know, a pretty big handful of us here in Alabama know Cliff Sims. To a level that maybe we can react to the story about Team of Vipers and the press junket he's been on. What's your first take on the Cliff Sims book?
So I'm about three chapters in. It's not a Trump hit book. I know the Trump tweet yesterday morning stirred up a lot of emotions, but so far it's not, you know, a negative depiction of him. It's nothing we didn't already know. Some of it's interesting just in that you get that first-hand account and a glimpse of it that you probably wouldn't get from anywhere else. And it's different because it's a guy that actually worked in the White House, and it's different from the Omarosa account because it doesn't come off as purely fiction. And it's different from the Bob Woodward and Michael Wolff accounts because Cliff actually worked in the White House. So my thinking so far is, and tell me what you think of this, that he's doing this, and then what's next for Cliff Sims? Could he come back to Alabama and run for office? Is this, you know, setting him up to do something else in the long term?
Well, you know, in thinking about that, I think his days of working for somebody in politics are probably, they're not coming back after this. But would he be able to run on his own right? I don't know. Or does he get a gig doing a commentator thing? I mean, could you transfer from a book like this? And I think it's going to be quite successful. Had a pretty heady advance for him as well. But if it's successful, then does he show up on a cable news network of whatever, whether that be CNN, MSNBC, Fox, wherever, as a commentator, and then maybe start penning some op-eds or something? Is that, I don't know.
I don't know if there's enough money in it. Right now he's working on K Street doing what they call boutique PR. Say, for example, you get nominated to some ambassadorship in a small country like Micronesia or Montenegro or something.
Both of those would be fine with me. I'd be good with
those. Yeah. And the way he does, or the company he works for, however it's set up, is he works on getting them confirmed through the Senate, and there's PR involved. There's a lot of things involved, and there's apparently it's a very lucrative sort of industry because he kind of understands Congress and he understands getting that right, that first foot forward in the right thing. And that's what he's been doing while writing this book. So does he keep doing that? I don't know. My guess is I think he's always had his eye on running for office. Even when I worked for him in 2013, he considered running for that Spencer Baucus seat when it opened up. Now, obviously, it was eventually won by Congressman Gary Palmer. But he had that on his mind. So I think if one of these congressional seats open up because somebody runs for U.S. Senate, maybe he takes a look at it, and this is sort of his get-acquainted moment.
Well, we know that the president tweeted about Cliff yesterday, which was expected, but it seems like Cliff has been giving the president his props through his interview. I know yesterday on CNN, he mentioned that the president works harder than most of the public thinks he does, that he's a really hard worker in the White House. But we've seen other people who have worked in that administration put out books. Do you think, and I know you're not very far along in the book, a few chapters in, but do you think this is the most honest take from anyone who's worked there with Trump?
I don't know, honest. It's hard to say yet because so far we're kind of going through the campaign. So you don't get a really a first my reading of it so far is him and his experiences with all the people in that war room at Trump Tower. Some of the people I know personally, obviously Steve Bannon I knew personally. There's other people that are participating, Hope Hicks, and he talks about that. So I have no reason to doubt what the accounting of that so far. I think maybe when we get further along and we get into the part where he's working for the president, then you'll probably see really if it holds up.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I would point out that I have not read any of it yet. You're three chapters in, and we're reacting to it at this point. But I said yesterday when people were up in arms, and you've just said it, this is no Trump hit book. And I said, people say, well, look at the clips. Look at what's out there. Look at the shows, what Cliff's talking about. If you're Morning Joe or something, you're not going to have Cliff come in and talk about the part of the book where he says nice things about the president. You're going to, if somebody has, other than, like I said, yes, other than Jesus and Mother Teresa, if you have a fair accounting of any human being, there'll probably be positive and negative. How that seesaw balances out, that's always the question. But if you're coming on CNN, they're going to get you to talk about the bad thing.
Well, also, if you're going on these channels, if you're going on MSNBC and CNN, you're not going to bring up the good parts. You're not going to make it sound like it's a great book because you want to sell the book.
Yeah.
So
y'all think about this. There. Think about what Jeff's saying right now. This is some real truth that he's trying to sell books. So you take the part of the book that appeals to that audience. And maybe in a week or two, he'll be on conservative shows, right? Maybe and talk about those parts of the book and try to sell books there.
Right. I'm sure he's going to hit us both up to come on because he's probably going to sell a lot of books in Alabama just by virtue of being a native of Alabama. But I think that's a little bit of that's at play right there. So when he's sitting there with Allison Camerota on CNN, he's not going to give a sycophantic account of his time with Trump. He's going to do the best he can, but he's going to make it seem like, hey, this is a book you guys want to read because it's going to give you an idea of what Trump's really up to.
But I would say a smart man because that's the Trump bump. Whenever you get on the other side of the president and he takes time to tweet you or give you a nickname or both, that person wins. So the less Cliff says and the more the president says is even better for book sales. It doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, here's the thing. If you look at the New York Times bestsellers list, all up and down that list, it's always dominated by conservative books. It's always an Ann Coulter, Michelle Balkin, those types, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's you can play it both ways. You can play it as the tell-all book that everybody on the Upper West Side and everybody in DuPont Circle in D.C. want to have and got to have. Then you could also try to play it in a way that's like, this is a way to show your support for conservative causes or whatever. And you could sell books both ways. It looks to me like he's leaning a little heavy on the, this is the tell-all book you've got to read to find out really what's going on. But maybe later on as things sort of settle down, it may be too late after Trump's tweet, but he could take the other approach, and sell a few books as well.
I want to get a reaction to this, and then we'll go to the news break and come back and talk more. But the name of the book, the title of the book is Team of Vipers. It's not anything. It's the team and not the president that is at least in the title. Now, you're three chapters in. It seems to me more the story is what we've heard about is commentary on Kellyanne Conway or, other people inside, Sean Spicer, or any other people inside the White House, more than it is just a book about President Trump. It's a whole team of people.
That's accurate. That's accurate. But here's what I would add to that is this is a team assembled by Donald Trump. So, Donald Trump's
not completely... He fires them too, right? I mean, it's a team that he
fires them.
Yeah.
But he's not completely without blame. I mean, these are the people he surrounded himself with, and he gets to pick his staff for the most part. So I think there's a little bit of that there too. Like, how did Donald Trump allow why is he allowing this person to work for him that's leaking all the time? And that raises the question, and I think that's where we look at the scrutiny, and then that's sort of the narrative of the book.
All right, we're coming right back. More with at least the first person I've talked to that has actually read some of the pages instead of just quoting excerpts from it. That's one of the many reasons Jeff Borick joins us on the radio every week. All right, coming right back. More with Jeff right here on Mobile Mornings. Thank you, Kane. 821 FM Talk 1065. And it is Mobile Mornings, Wednesday style. Sean Kelly, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. Of course, a lot of text coming in on the text line, 343-0106. And we're talking with our friend Jeff Poore. Of course, you can read him in Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and also listen to him on WVNN in Huntsville, Jeff Poore radio show. He's still cursing my name, getting him into that business, right? You still cursing me?
Yeah, a little bit. So well, I sit here and struggle with my vocal cords this morning.
Yeah, welcome to the world. But so much to talk about here with this this Cliff Sims story. And I think, like you said in the email to all of us, that it is one of the biggest stories in Alabama / national news. I mean, that's going to make this story even more outsized here at home. I know that's the national media that's been paying it the most attention lately. But I've been talking about it for a couple days, and I think we'll be talking about it going forward.
Well, the part I read, there's some interesting passages about how Yellowhammer stumbled upon the Bentley tape and his dealings with getting involved in Alabama politics and taking down Bentley. And then the other part so far, he's gotten to the Billy Bush weekend and how he kind of questioned his decision to leave Alabama. So some of that stuff hits home, and it's really hyper-local, so it's probably going to be an interest to some Alabama readers.
That's for sure. All right, let's go to 2020 politics. And you said if you were handicapping, Senator Kamala Harris would be your early lead among the Democrats. And that's a pretty crowded field, too.
It's a crowded field, but she seems to be... when you talk to other Republicans, she's the one that they're afraid of the most, I think. She's getting the most media attention. She's getting the most buzz. There's been some polling, but I think without a really true grasp of what the polls say, we don't really know what the field is. She is she's the front runner in these stages.
It was interesting. I think it was last week, and it's not like it was a all-out assault, but makes the announcement, and I thought it was interesting, and I guess looking at conservative politics, when a politician will come out and they get challenged from the right, you know, before it even gets cranked up in a primary, and that's, you know, people are to the right in the Republican primaries, to the left in Democrat primaries, I get it, but the folks to the left of Kamala Harris, Senator Harris, came after her last week.
Well, and they're going to be, that if she emerges as the front runner, that's what you'll see. It'll be along those lines. Now, the night before last, she went on CNN and said she wanted to do away with private health insurance.
Right.
She's walked that back since, but that's a pretty radical thing to say.
Well, that's why I wonder if that is some kind of offering to people to the left to satiate them to get her to the point where she gets into a general, you know?
Yeah, and I think that might be true. Right now, if you look at the Democratic Party, you've got to go left. The base voters are the ones who are the activists. They're the ones who believe this stuff, this socialism and a lot of that. And you can't run as a moderate Democrat. You have to go left in the primary, and then they say you moderate in the general election. Just how far left are you going to have to go in 2019 and 2020? Makes me wonder. That's going to be the big story of this election, this early part of the election cycle.
Jeff, you were right. I looked up the odds while you were talking about it, and Kamala Harris is the front runner for the Democrats right now. But we know Trump, he was a long shot when he got into the race.
True.
And looking at some of the long shots they have listed here, Zuckerberg at 100-1 odds, Oprah at 25-1, and then Michelle Obama at 28-1. Do you see anybody coming in on the left that is a really long shot and might actually have a chance at this?
Oh, yeah. What would be the Democrat analog to then candidate Donald Trump?
And how early would they have to start that campaign if that were the case?
Yeah, it would have to be a Zuckerberg or somebody. Remember, Trump didn't come down those escalators till later on in the year in 2015. Mm-hmm. So he shot up into polls immediately and never looked back in the early primary states. I think he lost to Ted Cruz in Iowa, but everywhere else he just dominated. So that to me says I think I always thought the polling was off with Trump. I didn't think he was necessarily a long shot. I thought he was a top two or three guy. I didn't think he would dominate coming out of that. But when you have a guy like that just has pure name recognition, he's already starting at an advantage. So you'd have to look around the field and say, well, who has name advantage like a Donald Trump? I don't think Zuckerberg has name advantage like a Trump. People know what Facebook is, but they don't know who runs Facebook.
I don't know.
So who has a brand name? So think about that. And I think that's where you get, maybe you find somebody on the Democratic side that could rise to that level.
Well, you're going to then answer this, because we were talking about this. I know Kelly during the news break was talking about it with you. Howard Schultz, I mean, you got money there, but you don't have, that's not exactly a kitchen table name.
It's not, but here's the deal with him. If he runs as an independent, guess what? He doesn't have to go to Iowa. He doesn't have to do the pancake breakfasts in New Hampshire. He's not going to win the presidency. I'll say that right now. Where he's going to be a spoiler is he's going to be Ross Perot.
I was waiting for that, yes.
Yeah, he is going to be the guy that takes votes away from somebody. I don't, you know, it's unclear to me if it's Democrats or Republicans right now. It seems like it would be Democrats, but if you listen to what he says, he likes to talk about debts, deficits. He could be a guy that takes votes away from Trump. So that becomes problematic for Republicans or vice versa. Trump has, I think, a solid high 30s, low 40s%, no matter what. They're going to stick with him no matter what. So is there going to be – could Howard Schultz take enough votes away from a Democrat to keep Trump kind of where he's safe? That's the question. I think he might be a spoiler for a Democratic candidate that wants to run against Trump in 2020.
And some are saying because he identified, you know, most recently as what, last year, as being a Democrat. But he was trending earlier this week because he was apologizing for taking the Seattle Supersonics from Seattle, like not having that franchise remain there. People are like, you know what, your apology is kind of suspect with the fact that you've got a book coming out and, oh, by the way, you may run for president. I mean, I think the American people are just tired of the shenanigans. Either you are or you aren't. Come on, let it be known.
Well, and here's the other thing. The Democrats are going to go hard after him because they look at that and they say, well, if he could hurt one of our candidates and upset our chance to beat Trump, we need to go after this guy and get him out of the way. And I think you're seeing a little bit of that right now. I expect if he does continue on down this path of kind of teasing a run, you'll see the criticism ratchet up.
Jeff, we've got just 90 seconds here, so I do want to at least get this on the record. You're talking about Montgomery and what's going on as they're getting ready for session. You said the word on the street is that Governor Ivey is going to circumvent the legislature and have a private contractor build a new prison, and the state will lease the property and have DOC workers staff it. This is big.
So here's the problem. If you want to do it through the legislature, you run into some obstacles because members in that legislature don't want to lose the prisons. They employ a lot of people in their area. If you build a new prison, then maybe you build it somewhere besides where it exists right now, and you lose those jobs. So Ivy's looking at it. She can't get it through the legislature. The federal government's breathing down the state's neck, and you got to do something, and this looks to me like it's just a path of least resistance.
So, I mean, is that an executive action? I guess she can do that, right?
Right, she could do it, and I think it's going to be up to the legislature to be like, okay, we don't want her to do this. We need to come to an agreement. That might be the only saving grace, because it's going to be a lot more expensive. I think 20% more expensive. We're talking like hundreds of millions of dollars more expensive to do it this way. But if you just can't get people to agree on it, it's going to cost the state a lot of money. And that's kind of where we are with it right now.
Okay, so she would do it almost as really as a leverage to try to get the legislature to actually do something.
I think possibly, but interesting. I think if things fall through in the legislature, so she might actually wind up doing it.
There you go. Jeff, if people want to check you out, let's go down the laundry list of ways they can do it, or do you have a clearinghouse you want them to go to?
Just go to twitter.com/Jeff_poor, and you can get caught up there.
All right, good stuff, man. I will talk to you soon.
All right, thanks for having me on, Sean.
As always, a pleasure, man. The guy is a font of information. Our buddy Jeff Poore. Yeah, check him out on Twitter and in print all over the place. We'll go to news. Coming back, I'm going to take your calls next.
Thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head up the road and head to McConnell Automotive. Talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, Dalton.
So we're getting very near the end of January. Only 2 days left to get out to McConnell. Get a great deal on a Z71.
Yeah, buddy. I tell you what, I want everybody to go to McConnellAutomotive.com. Dalton, you know, that's our website. And what they're going to find out is if you're looking at a truck, you're going to find used vehicles, and you're going to see our new vehicles for these last 2 days of the month priced about like a used one, Dalton. So it's kind of a no-brainer. So the new 19 truck is here. Everybody's getting excited about it. And we actually have a pick, unlike most dealers, Dalton, of good colors and equipment on Z71s. And a great quick example is you're going to be saving like 11, 12 grand off. So a $55,000 truck is going to be, you know, $44,000, and these are the kind of prices you're seeing on 17. So want everybody to rush. Go to McConnellAutomotive.com, and if they wait, Dalton, they're going to miss out, buddy. So it's 2 days left, partner.
That's for sure. Some great stuff. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a blessed day.
All right, that's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 837, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. A couple takeaways here. What a get your reaction to. Number one, the first place I've heard of that move was from Jeff Poore, that the governor, Governor Ivey, may do an end around, or at least do it to try to get the legislature to do their job. Yeah, I don't mind if the executive branch feigns something. You know, my problem with what has happened, no matter, be it President Trump, President Obama, President Bush before, I have issues with the expansion of executive power, not based on the party in their. I want co-equal branches of government, and people have jobs, and they should do it. In a way, the politicking of feigning an executive action to do an end around on prisons to motivate the legislature to do something, I'm not entirely bothered by that. If it doesn't come to fruition that the executive branch does make that move, but it is enough of a motivator to get the legislative branch to do what they're supposed to do in session, I think that's a pretty savvy play. I like that. And I want to talk about that. And the other part of it, too, is the Cliff Sims angle. And Team of Vipers, the book, and hopefully we'll get Cliff on the show soon. But I said this yesterday during the midday show, and I'll go back to it, to kind of let you know what it was like as he decided to sign on with the campaign. And I wish we could pull the archives. We didn't podcast like we do now, which, by the way, podcast available through our website, through Stitcher, through iTunes, through Spotify, through TuneIn Radio. Am I missing anything?
I think you got them.
Okay. Our podcasts are available, waiting for you. Please subscribe and download, or if you want to get them a la carte, you can go to the website and do that. Y'all have been great. The number of hours a week of our podcast downloaded, we really appreciate it. Thank you. But if we could go back in time and have those archives, Cliff and I were both talking at that point when it was then candidate Trump, and I remember getting some flack back then. I always get flack. I'm used to it.
Right.
I was questioning that. Did he fit what my mold was of a conservative? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I had an epiphany moment and realized people weren't talking about conservative, they were talking about a populist. Because I kept going through this litmus test and going, you know, he fails this, he fails that. Look at what he used to say about guns, what he used to say about abortion, what he used to say. And, you know, he's just like, oh, I've changed. And so, and Cliff and I would talk about that on the show. We were both, like, interested in this guy, but didn't think that it would be enough, the popularity around Trump, to get him to win the primary. It wasn't until way later, till it got close, I went, ooh, well, look at here. But Cliff said to me one day, we're in the, like, between segments or whatever, and we were just talking during the news break, and he said, hey, Sullivan, I'm thinking about taking a sabbatical from Yellowhammer. And I guess I can say this stuff. I've been saying the story enough. You'll have to sue me. And I said, a sabbatical? What's up? What's wrong? He said, this is after he's been doing questioning of Donald Trump, the candidate. He said, I'm going to go to work for the Trump campaign. And I said, okay, I didn't expect that. He said, yeah. He said, I got an opportunity. And like he said in some of the interviews yesterday, he said the same thing to me. He said, when else am I going to get an opportunity like this?
Mm-hmm.
When am I going to get a chance to be part of this? Now, he was coming through Stephen Miller, who is, and the Stephen Miller relationship, I think, is pretty interesting, too, because, you know, I argued that the Main Street populism that Donald Trump took to the campaign trail to become President Trump was taken chapter and verse from Jeff Sessions. All through the Obama administration, when they headed to the Rotunda for some commentary on what was going on in the country, you had our Senator Jeff Sessions there giving this Main Street, you know, middle-class populism discussion. Stephen Miller, part of the staff for Senator Jeff Sessions. He then had taken interest and gotten to know Cliff Sims. That's how Cliff Sims was brought aboard the Trump campaign. So that it went Trump, Sessions, Cliff, Stephen Miller, Cliff Sims. So Cliff comes in. He said, yeah, when am I going to get a chance to be part of this and really do something and maybe affect change? And I said, man, go for it. I mean, what an opportunity. I mean, not like you needed my permission. I said, great opportunity. Go for it. But it was very strange. It wasn't like Cliff was somebody that was from the escalator day, a number one Trump fan. He was at least questioning the conservative bona fides of Donald Trump. So then he goes to work for the campaign, becomes part of the transitional team, and then all of a sudden he's in the White House. And we talked sparingly at that point. But he was, everything he ever said to me was fairly glowing of how Donald Trump was working behind the scenes. So I think there's going to be a lot of this in the book. I have yet to read it. I'm going to try to remedy that soon. But just know when the shows right now that he's on are pulling this clip and that clip, of course they're going to try to go to the clip that is bad for President Trump. And then there will be good clips. Just watch in a week or so, 2 weeks, whatever it is, he's going to be on conservative shows, and they're going to be pulling conservative clips. Tells me that maybe, and we'll see, but maybe it's a lot more honest accounting than anything you've seen. When you read something that has both positive and negative in it, maybe that's more akin to reality. I've got to read it before I can say that's what I truly believe, but it's just a question.
I was reading some of the reviews yesterday, and what has come out is that of all the quote-unquote tell-all books out of the White House, that this is the one that is for President Trump, that puts him in the best light as opposed to all the other books. And it's really about showing all the backbiting and backstabbing, and with Cliff Sims admitting to being part of that, being a viper.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a totally different account. And I think it's a lot easier once you've read it to have an honest opinion as opposed to going by other people's tweets and quotes. And that's why, you know, when there's a presser that happens, I like to watch it in its entirety live when possible, as opposed to having to wait until your favorite news organization gives you what they want to give you.
Mm-hmm. Omission versus commission.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And so you have to do your own homework. And of course, he's trying to sell books.
Sure.
And he's going to, I mean, bottom line, right? The quotes that come out that make anyone look bad is going to help sell books.
Sure.
Let because alone that,
that's
the
our
Commander-in-Chief.
Society.
Right.
Yeah, that's our society. And so, he's going to, and I, like I said to Jeff, and you just said it, I think we're going to find out there's a lot more of this book that's about Spicer and Conway and Kelly and everybody in the book because it's not called President Trump, the story. It's called Team of Vipers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, interestingly enough, too, he'll talk about how there's some disparity on how he was he fired? Did he leave? I know that he was really closely aligned with Mike Pompeo because the last time he was on this radio station, Cliff called and said, hey, I need a favor. Can I go on the air with you and talk about Pompeo? He's up for confirmation. You know, and I said, well, sure. Mm-hmm. We came on and talked about that. He was at that point being the attaché for Pompeo, and he would have gone with Pompeo to be, a higher up, I think even chief of staff for Pompeo, but he was blocked in the Senate, and I don't know exactly why.
Well, you mentioned Stephen Miller, and one of the quotes that the media is grabbing and that Cliff was asked about yesterday on CNN, he had a conversation with Stephen Miller where he quotes Stephen Miller saying something along the lines of, he'd be fine if another refugee stepped foot in the United States. And Cliff said he doesn't align with that because he was hoping that the president would take care of the Syrian Christian refugees that were fleeing Syria.
And that fits with the Cliff Sims I know.
And another interesting part, he was asked about non-disclosure because that's what the president tweeted about yesterday, saying that Cliff signed a non-disclosure. And when asked directly about it, Cliff Sims said, I don't remember if I signed a non-disclosure. He said, I was fired up Do what?
NDA,
right. Mm-hmm. And he said, I was just fired up to join the team. And you know what it's like when you get a new job and you're just signing everything. He said, whatever I signed was probably the same things that those who've written books before me signed, the Spicers and the rest of them. So he said, I don't know how that's going to play out, but I can't remember if I signed an NDA.
But at that point, a person doesn't even care if they're going to be sued, supposedly sued, because the point is to get the word out about the book. And if that creates more controversy, then bottom line, you're making more money. That's the name of the game.
You just got to make enough to pay the attorneys and then pay yourself.
Right. If the lawsuit ever comes to fruition, though, because we're in such a stage. Come on. I mean, how many people threaten to sue, and do they follow through?
I don't know. Watch People's Court. let's go to the phones. And Clint is in Fairhope up next. Hey, Clint.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good. So what's up?
Well, I have a question. When are you going to get somebody on the radio to balance out what Jeff Hoare has to say?
I don't know. When there's somebody that's, wants to come on that's good and entertaining, then I'll do it. Yeah, it's not like my job here is to have a entertaining show. So if you have, it's not a point counterpoint. I mean, I have my own opinions. Kelly has her own opinions. Dalton has his own opinions. I have guests on that have their own opinions. I mean, you're on right now. You get to counter him. Why don't you do it? It's your debut. You are auditioning, Clint.
I'm neither good nor exciting, but I do get just very perturbed listening to Jeff put out his subliminal right wing message.
Oh, I don't think it's subliminal. I think it's completely conscious.
Well, I don't think most people truly understand where he's coming from. Okay, the Breitbart thing is not highlighted enough. You do disclose that. But when he makes comments like, well, you're going to have, a Democrat run for president on the hard left. They're going to have to keep going hard left. You'll never have a moderate. That's pure right-wing sprint spin.
I don't know. I don't know if he said never. Did he say you never? But I mean, I was one that brought up that Kamala Harris was, Senator Harris was, the grief she got last week was from people that said she wasn't left enough. That's true. That's fact.
There are always going to be those people. But in reality, a moderate has just as much chance as somebody on the far left.
Not in the primaries, Clint.
We saw with Doug Jones in Alabama, there's a very real need for a moderate in today's political climate. And so Jeff just puts his, soft touch right wing spin on everything, and people listening just say, oh, well, yeah, I guess he's right. They're going to have to be a radical, leftist to win the president. That's not true.
Well, look at what's getting attention right now. Let me say this. In the general, you're spot on. And Clint, if you remember, I'm the leader of the alt-centrist movement. But if that was true, it's true in the general, but not in the primary. And it's true of Republicans, and it's true of Democrats. You watch how you have to run in the primary, because it is the grassroots activists that are busy voting in primaries, donating money, and getting out. That's who you have to play to, no matter which side of the aisle you're on. That's who you play to in the primaries. And then they moderate in the general to try to win. I mean, that's just how it works, man. That's not spin. That's just reality.
I know, but Jeff, I have a big problem with Jeff, and he gets to say what he wants to say, and nobody's there to counterbalance him.
You're getting to do it right now. You're getting to, you got it, man.
Well, okay. Well, I did it today, but if you ever want to have me on, I'd love to sit in the radio station with you guys or call in while he's on and just call out his pure BS.
Well, you know what? We may set that up. And by email, Sean, spelled the weird way, SEAN at FMTalk1065.com. Send me an email, contact info, and we'll see if we can set that up one day.
I appreciate it, John.
All right, Clint, appreciate the call. Yeah, this is a chance. This is why, when people will get mad on the other side and say, oh, you have Quinn on, and Quinn's saying things I don't like to hear about President Trump. Phone number is 343-0106. Let her rip. What we're about. I mean, this is just a moderate echo chamber, not a full roaring echo chamber of the show. All right, so here's the situation that the base is in. That's old line. Kids of the 80s, you rob base. All right.
Oh,
so
it takes two to make a thing go.
Here's the situation that the base is in. Okay. not going to go the whole rap. But okay. So if you're in the situation that you've made a New Year's resolution to get cleaned up and organized around the house, heck, even if you didn't do one of these, you just decided this is something you're doing as a family, you've got a couple options here. Number one would be to join a Mardi Gras organization, all right, and to bag up all the junk in your home and then throw it off the float during Mardi Gras. Now, that may be troubling if things are sharp and hard and will cut people and injure people. So that may not be your best option. The other option, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Mm.
You could even save the few soft items out of your junk pile to throw during Mardi Gras. The rest of it, get Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK to get it and get it gone. They're working in Mobile County, Baldwin County, commercial properties. So you got junk at your office, like a legion of the old big metal file cabinets that we have and projecting there that need gone. You can get rid of those at your house. The junk that has dominated that guest room to now the fact that nobody could actually sleep in that guest room, or you got stuff in your attic, you got stuff outside your house. You got a swing set and your youngest child's in graduate school. You've got a storage building in the backyard you want the stuff out of. Heck, you may want the whole storage building gone. You got a storage unit full of junk you haven't looked at in years, but every month you cut that check for the storage unit. Get it all gone. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online, make that appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll give you a specific time and a day, and they'll be there and get the work done efficiently. And the price they quote you, it's the price you pay whether the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was or not. So you got your options. Join the Mardi Gras group and throw the junk off the float, or just pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, 855 FM Talk 106.5. Got anything here? What do we got?
I saw a video from the Today Show from It's So Cold in Chicago that they're lighting the train tracks on fire to keep the tracks from freezing so the trains can keep making it through.
What's burning?
I don't know if they put, you know, petro, as they say in Europe, if they put some petro
okay,
on
so
there.
Okay, so they're like smearing something on there and
yeah,
lighting it.
They're putting something on the tracks and then lighting it up, which you'd think
that's
would be dangerous.
Cool.
Yeah.
But it also would be... Photos of that would be an album cover for any heavy metal band. A train going down some fiery tracks, man.
Nice
that's rock and roll.
Yeah, even cooler, the video was it in the dark, so early this morning, or maybe late last night.
Wait a second. Mm-hmm. You sure they're not filming a new video for some rock song?
That's a good question. Or a Nick
nighttime,
Cage, maybe?
Nighttime, tracks lit on fire, here comes a locomotive,
yeah.
And then drums, doom, doom, doom. That'd be awesome.
I could see it now. That'd be perfect.
So they're keeping them warm by lighting them up.
Mm-hmm. It's cold everywhere. -1 in Indianapolis earlier this morning. And then what did we say it was in Minneapolis? -45 or something like that at one point? Crazy.
Yes. That makes it, when you go, oh, it was 25 here last night in Mount Vernon.
They shrug their shoulders.
Yeah, it puts it into perspective. All right, let's grab one call before we wrap up here. And we'll head to the crime-riddled city of Sims to talk to Matt. Hey, Matt.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Kelly. Good morning.
Hey, look, I just really, I know I'm using your show as a plug, but I'm kind of plugging for Clint here. I want Clint to come on the show
okay. And
go head-to-head with Jeff. I think that would be awesome. I do. It's not that I'm bashing Jeff. It's just I'd kind of like to see Clint's perspective. I think you really do have a more centrist or moderate base of listeners than maybe you even know about, to be honest with you. You know,
maybe true. Maybe true. I don't, you know, you don't hear from, you know, you get the extremes of right and left because if you're working the customer service line, people aren't calling you saying, I love that. You know, it's rare.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's great when
too.
It happens.
I flood your lines with memes all the time laughing at stuff that you guys do. You know, but I mean, in all seriousness, there's times I can't stand something Quinn Hillier says, but that doesn't mean... You know, I'm bashing the right or left as a generalization. There was one show you done with Cameron Smith and mm-hmm. Jeff going back to back. I thought that was really interesting. That was some really good dialogue. It's been a while, but that was one time when they both were kind of going at each other.
Maybe we'll do more of that. I'm open to that.
I like seeing that, and I'm just plugging for Clint to step on out there and do it.
All right, Matt. Clint, you got your first vote there, and we're going to work it up. And Matt, thank you for the call. In the meantime, seriously, there's something on there. I mean, I, Lord knows, Quinn and I battle it out, you know, most weeks on the show. It, just because you don't have a show here or a special time, you hear something and you have a legitimate, not just people are stupid, you have a legitimate argument with it, bring it up. Phone number. Put this in your contacts.
And
FM
also,
Talk 1065-343-0106.
And you're very much on social media. That's another way to reach you too. Mm-hmm. Get your attention.
All kind of stuff happens over there though.
And it doesn't go down in the DMs.
It's right there
on the TL.
That's right. It is in the TLs for sure. All right.
You added the extra S.
Yes.
What is it? Walmarts?
Kmarts. Yes, that's
Kroger's.
Correct. See y'all in the morning.